out in the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, April 5th, 2020. I'm Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's the Wombat. Welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And I'm happy to be here in quarantine where I've lost all concept of time.
Yeah, I hear you. I think a lot of us in the same boat. Our guests today are Boudreaux. Say hello, Boudreaux.
Hey, hey, guys.
And Dread Pirate Higgs. Hello. Welcome back. Did I leave anyone out? Okay. The Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religions, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition, and most recently, the coronavirus and its effect on all of us. If you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer, in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show breaks. Also, did you know that there was a streaming atheist call-in video show broadcasting here in Knoxville?
Yes.
And has been for over 10 years?
Yes.
Did you know the
one? I'm all about the internet. Listen, okay, so Naruto is the basically the child of the last Hokage in his village. And he wants to become Hokage, which is like the number one leader in his village. Okay. So you can go online and check out this work. It's a manga by Kishimoto. I forgot what his first name is, but it's really good. The fight scenes are good. The characters are amazing. And I just think, you know, we should really pay more attention to the Japanese culture. It's really amazing.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with our show.
What?
No. Ours is just a streaming atheist call-in TV show. It's streaming on video now. And we'll tell you how you can watch it and interact with it after the mid-show break. We'll have more details. If you'd like to interact with us on the show, during the show, go to Facebook, search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, and use the messaging function to send us messages or comments. We usually do this every Sunday morning about 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time so that you can go there and find us. Then don't be shy. Question away.
Nice.
What do you have for us today, Wombat, on our subjects list?
I've got some unpopular opinions about coronavirus.
Oh, great.
So
works me.
I've been in quarantine only for about, you know, the weekend plus Friday, so I really shouldn't be complaining. But I have a really, you know, I like my job. I like going to work, and I have a very set schedule. When that's thrown off, my time for work activities and hobbies start to, like, fly into an array where I don't know exactly what I should be doing, when I should be doing it. And whenever I try to do one thing, I'm distracted by the other. And so staying at home, I'm still doing work. Like, you still have to do work, but I'm in the environment where nothing is work appropriate or distractions are minimized. And that sucks. Yeah. And so I've come to bear this really unpleasant, you know, irksome mentality about coronavirus and basically how it's bad. We should take precautions. But, you know, maybe it'd be nice to just gripe and vent for a while and see if any of these gripes are coming from the right, you know, state of mind. Plus, gives me a really cool opportunity to delve into some weird conspiracies that I really want to get into about the coronavirus. How about we do the conspiracies first? They seem to be the funnest ones.
Okay. First, I'd like to welcome Joey to the show. He came in a little late, but he's here. Hello, old Joey. Welcome to the show.
Struggling to get on. That's him.
There's Joey.
So Gary, our Dread Pirate,
Arr.
Why don't you tell me about this conspiracy list that you've assembled?
Well, I subscribe to this news site called the American Council on Science and Health. So it's been around for a good long time. Not that I'm appealing to antiquity or anything like that, but this most recent thing is just a list of conspiracy theories surrounding the COVID-19 virus. And
is this a conspiracy website, or is it one that dispels conspiracies?
No. It's you know, sort of a health advocate. Science and Health Advocacy website. And it's, you know, run by, you know, respected scientists and science communicators. So they've just put together a list of some of the interesting conspiracy theories surrounding the coronavirus. Mm. And I thought, I put this on my personal webpage or Facebook page, and was sort of beset with an onslaught of, well, science isn't science, and blah blah blah. So I just thought it'd be an interesting topic to talk about, and just put it out there. But I did want to, ask for clarification on something from Wombat.
Yo.
Now, you said you're in quarantine.
Yeah, more like a stay at home.
Quarantine, or are you self isolating?
I am self isolating. You know what? It feels like quarantine. I can't tell the difference, to be honest.
And I understand, but I think, I think it's an important distinction.
Sure, nowadays. Yeah. But basically, I'm staying, I'm doing more to stay at home. The gym that's nearby is shut down. The gym in my apartment shut down. There's courts and basketball courts are all locked up. All I have is a volleyball. There's no one in the parks. It's just, it's like part of this dystopian zombie land outside. And you're just like, come on, wash your hands.
Without the zombies.
Yeah, I know. It's like even worse. There's nothing to run away from.
You remember the Omega Man with Charlton Heston?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Mm. Yeah, it feels like that time where the guy from the Planet of the Apes first lands on Earth again, and he's just like, what? Or, way at the end of the movie, like after he escapes from everybody, he's just like, this is boring. Who changed the statue? That's how I feel. So, what's the first conspiracy that we should talk about?
Well, there's a number of them here, so we can just take it down the list.
Cool.
That the SARS or COVID-2, the novel COVID virus that causes COVID-19 is an escaped Chinese biological weapon.
Okay, so maybe we should take a back step. So like SARS-CoV-2, that was like the virus that was going around back in 2002. It caused a disease or like symptoms related to SARS, and there was a virus that caused it, and that's SARS-CoV-2. And now we're saying that COVID-19 is basically an offshoot of that was made by China? Wait, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the conspiracy is saying
that. I'll just read what it says here.
Yeah.
This conspiracy has been repeated multiple times, even by high-profile individuals.
Oh, no way.
Like Fox News' Tucker Carlson.
Oh, no.
Biggest problem with this conspiracy theory is that genetically engineering a virus is a lot easier said than done. To make a virus more lethal or more contagious or both, scientists would need to know how to tweak pre-existing genes. For instance, by making multiple point mutations at precisely the correct spots in the genome. That is far-fetched, to put it mildly. The genetic analysis in Nature Medicine shows that the simplest explanation is that the virus evolved and jumped into humans from an animal.
Yeah. So that's the weird thing about COVIDs or like SARS in general. It's I forgot the word is, but it's a kind of disease that infects both people and animals, which is different from like, say, like the flu, which tends to really, as far as we know, really only focus on human beings. But when it goes from an animal and it mutates there, when it jumps back out and affects a human, it's almost like a brand new thing. It's very similar to the point where we can see where it's related to. We can even tell what animal it came from, but it's
the swine flu, that kind of thing. Right?
It's a completely different beast at that point. And you're just like, ah, man, that sucks. We have to go through this all over again, which is kind of why, I hear a lot of talk about, like vaccines. And I'm like, by the time we have one, which to make a good one, to make sure it does what we say it will do, it's an 18-month process at the earliest. So if we come out with one super early, I'll be skeptical. But if we come out with one 18 months from now, that will only be good for COVID-19. We might be facing COVID-20 or 21 at that point. And there might just be other expectations at that point that we can talk about later in the show. But I don't think it's a biological weapon of anything. It's just, it's nature. It's been doing what it's been always doing.
Right.
Could it be possible that they deliberately neglected regulating those markets in order to, I don't think there would be any kind of plan or control, but it just seems, it's just so surprising to me that when the first SARS came out, you'd think the government, the Chinese government, would take this situation a little more seriously. But it happened again. It's just confusing to me.
Joey, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but it sounds like you are under the impression that the virus came out twice only, and that you would want the Chinese government to step out more.
Because it's SARS came out of similar markets, didn't they? Like the animal markets.
As far as we can tell, like that's one of the jumping off locations. It could cascade, and we could just find one. Like we know SARS has been around since Egyptian times. There have been people who go into like tombs and then come out with those symptoms because the viruses are just so well maintained. Egyptians really know how to like preserve dead bodies. They're really good at it. And so, you know, it doesn't have to just be other animals. It could just be you're in an environment where it's just not sanitary and you're digging around.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Right. I just, if it came, just correct me if I'm wrong. The first SARS came out of an animal market like that, didn't they?
No, I wouldn't say the first SARS. I think the first SARS has been around with us since, you know, caveman times probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is an old thing. We just started calling it a thing. SARS is the symptoms that you get. Like, that's basically the disease. The virus that causes it, there could be a bunch of different kinds.
Severe acute respiratory syndrome.
Yeah, like, that's
what it stands for.
So there's never been a serious virus that's come out of those animal markets?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But, like, there's also been ones that come from mud fields in, you know, in Mesopotamia. Like, there's just things called viruses, and they make people sick, and they cause similar, you know, kinds of diseases, and they can be classified and grouped together. But this is just one of them. This is just a very popular one at the moment. But that's it.
Yeah. This might be a good time to list at least some of our expertise. Wombat, you have a PhD in microbiology, don't you?
Biochemistry,
Biochemistry. Okay. So we're just not... It's not just here just throwing opinions around. These are educated folks in the areas that we're all going to speak.
I'm just going to preface everything that I'm saying in this show. Like, we should obviously take precautions. I'm fine with that. I want to do everything we can to not panic, but I also want to take the opportunity to just say, like, you know, we have diseases. They've been around for a long time. And functionally, this is not a new thing that's going on, nor will it be the only time it happens. And I think it should just be mindful of rates of people getting contaminated and how much better we are now compared to where we were in the past to getting over things like this. And we've faced bigger things in the past.
This isn't a sign of the end times.
Exactly.
No.
My mom's already packing up her suitcases. It's crazy.
So just as an interesting counterpoint to that first conspiracy where you know, some Americans are thinking it's a Chinese biological weapon,
right.
There are Chinese saying that the U.S. military introduced the virus into Wuhan. It's interesting that, you know, conspiracies are not confined to America's, or, you know, American believing that people are out to get them, but other people think other people are out to get them as well.
I do have an unfortunate confession to make. When I first heard about the coronavirus in China, I thought it was a means for them to change the story, like initially change the story from the Hong Kong protests that were gaining a lot of traction to just anything else so that they can corral and make the protesters seem bad and force them to go home. And I know it's a much bigger problem now, but I've not heard much of the protests since, and I wonder if there wasn't some sort of like guy in a newsroom in a suit being like, "We can use this. We got to do
wagging
anything."
Wagging the dog, as
it were. Exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you know that phrase. So like wagging the. So I want to talk about that just real quick. So like you have tail or dog wags the tail. That's the way how the narrative should go. But you can spin a story around to make it make no sense whatsoever, so that you could have the tail wagging the dog. But now I think we're at the point where we have lost control of the spin. Like, the spin has just gained so much momentum that the people who are trying to control it have completely lost it. And now everyone's just panicking and there's no toilet paper anywhere. And politicians around the world are like, how do we keep the masses happy at this point? Cause we went too far. So we're officially in wag tails the dog mode right now. That's my conspiracy. That's my 1.8 conspiracy. 1.B.
Goodness.
Anyway.
That was a good movie, by the way, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Boudreaux, you chimed in. What do you think about that first conspiracy?
Well, The first one, I do find it interesting that the website that was shared actually has a caveat to what they said.
Oh, what's the caveat?
They're saying it is possible that there's some CDC equivalent biological lab in Wuhan, and they're saying it is possible that Chinese scientists were studying some kind of virus and it leaked. And I think they're kind of backing that up by saying, you know what, the U.S. has mishandled smallpox, anthrax, influenza, so. Although the biological weapon seems pretty ridiculous,
right?
There could be a possibility that they just mishandled something and it got right. out.
That's
the important distinction: is the difference between plausibility and
right.
possibility.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will throw this out from a person who's worked in conjunction with both Oak Ridge and the Biosciences Lab and with CDC. If that were to happen, there is so much understood paperwork and knowledge of the pathogens that are in those labs, that if it were to leak out to another lab or another country and they were able to test it, they would be able to immediately correlate which lab it came from. It wouldn't be that hard of a thing to do, especially in the time frame that we've been under right now. So I say, yeah, anything's possible, this is an incredibly low potential of a circumstance. And I just think, you know, there's the virus was COVID-18 was already around, you know, COVID-17 was already around. It doesn't need to come from a lab. Like, it's very easy to propagate in nature already.
And for part number two, where the U.S. military could have introduced it, it wasn't very well planned out then. If they knew how serious it was, and then it would circle the globe and come right back to us.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Trump would want to have a pandemic outbreak on his electoral, you know, campaigning at this point.
Right.
That'd be really bad. No one wants that. Anyway, if we're good, how about we go into the next one? Gary.
Sure. That 5G caused the coronavirus.
What's 5G?
So there's a Dr. Thomas Cohen out there who's been talking about this. I've seen a couple of things from him on it. So I'll just read the thing from here. 5G, the latest version of telecommunications technology, has been blamed
of
things.
Internet for my phone?
Yeah, the next iteration of
your
technology.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the boonies. I'm healthy if I get dial-up out here.
So anyway, it's been blamed for a lot of things like cancer, asthma, memory deficits, autism, diabetes, obesity, impaired sperm function.
What?
Now we can add coronavirus to the list, according to Dr. Thomas Cohen. This takes a little bit of explaining. Mm. According to Dr. Cohen, we do not get sick because of viruses. First, we get sick, and then our bodies produce viruses in response.
What?
How so?
What?
How so?
What?
How so, you ask?
How so? How so?
Our poison cells need to get rid of bad DNA, so they expel the bad DNA. That, in Dr. Cohen's universe,
where
is the origin of the
from?
Virus.
Oh, man.
I almost failed biology, and I'm very skeptical of that statement.
So
he said, what causes our cells to become poisoned in the first place? 5G technology, of course.
How long has 5G been out? Did it just come out?
It's just, it's the latest iteration, right? So everything's kind of 4G right now. They're moving towards, sort of higher frequency stuff, because the lower the frequency, the easier it is to penetrate, in humans, right?
Yeah.
But the higher frequency goes for shorter distances and has less impact on the environment.
Yeah.
And what
the wild animal market in China had 5G. Before everybody else, right?
I get it. Sarcasm. I'm still lost. Chad, we're talking about 5G causing the coronavirus. That's right. 5G from your phone is the leading cause of the coronavirus. That's the secret that's been hiding in news all this time. Joey, I have a quick question for you. What do you think about cancer, asthma, memory deficits, autism, diabetes, etc.? Like, when we have new technology, have you noted that we are quick to blame it for the causes of current epidemics?
Always, right? And it's always shifting, you know. I mean, vaccines was the last thing to be, attributed, to autism.
Right. And how unfortunate is that?
Memory deficits.
Yeah, because that's how unfortunate is that? Because that's a relatively new thing that actually demonstrably does reduce diseases and outbreaks of stuff. Joey, what do you think? If you're still here.
What do I think about
technology?
I've not heard about this correlation between internet and diseases, so this is all new to me.
I'll date my age real quick. I remember when microwaves came out. I remember when we had our first microwave, and the immediate thing I remember someone telling me, I forgot who, but it was an adult, is like, if you open up this door before the timer goes off, you will get cancer.
I heard about that. Well, I also heard about cell phones causing brain cancer.
Yeah, it's all part of the same
fears
surrounding electromagnetic radiation. People just don't understand what it is well enough, generally speaking, well enough to appreciate the fact that standing out in the sun exposes you to more ultraviolet radiation than you're going to get from a microwave.
Oh, absolutely. Ever. Yes. 10,000%. I feel like it goes all the way back to caveman times. Like when someone first made fire, it's like, hey, that thing you made is going to cause the demons to come out of the bushes. It's like, no, this is technology. It's going to help us. It's going to be great. It's like, I don't like this fire guy.
So very coincidentally and not surprising, my mom sent me a link on Facebook to a news report by this doctor. And she's like, you got to see this. You got to see this. And then later she asked me, how can I share this? Outside of Facebook, and apparently it was removed from YouTube, and it was really
Dr. Cohen, you mean?
I listened to about 30 seconds of the video, and then I just stopped it, and I said, Mom, none of this is right. I was like, go to the CDC, get your information from there. Don't get it from random posts on Facebook.
Confirmation bias is out there everywhere, and if you're looking for it, you'll find it, guaranteed.
Chad, if you're on the line, what do you think about this technology causing the latest meme pandemic? Have you heard of analogous situations or anything about this in particular?
I heard someone mention this 2 weeks ago, and I thought that it was some sort of joke. Because it just, to me, doesn't make any sense at all. And I don't understand how anyone that has any real understanding of just the way that life functions on this planet could even think that would be a possibility. But, I could be wrong. I'm open to ideas, new ideas. But this one sounds so implausible that I'll let believe it and test it before I do.
I think
I'm going to choose to not believe it. But I also don't really have much experience with electromagnetic radiation, but I also
You've gone outside
with unicorns.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. Well, I don't have any working knowledge of it.
Gotcha.
But nor do I of unicorns. So I mean, someone blame unicorns, and I would think it was probably just as plausible as electromagnetic radiation. Although one is real and one is not.
Right. So
I don't know.
I have seen the pattern of new thing comes out, we don't understand it, so let's blame it on the things that we don't really understand.
Right,
of course. Well, I have a little expertise in electromagnetic radiation. I was a radioman in the Navy for 4 years.
Oh, look at
that. And I've also become a ham radio operator.
Nice.
Extra level. I've been doing that for a decade or two. Electromagnetic radiation can burn you. If you stand next to an antenna that's putting out a couple hundred watts, you might get a burn from it.
Wow.
But there's not going to create any kind of additional life form inside your cell or release one.
Spontaneous generation.
It's not going to do anything like that. It's think of it as at its worst is like x-rays or microwaves that can burn you.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and the difference, the big division is between ionizing and non-ionizing radiation. So radiation, which is, ultraviolet and above, has the ability to essentially knock electrons off of atoms and disrupt molecules and stuff.
And cause some cool chemistry.
Right,
which are like X-rays and gamma rays right. and cosmic rays and all the rest.
Yes.
But radio waves.
Super low energy.
Microwaves, radio, you know, all that kind of stuff. Anything below the ultraviolet level.
Basically the visible spectrum
visible
down.
Visible light.
Yeah.
Yeah, including visible light is not, it doesn't have the energy to do that. So, you know, and as Dutter 5 points out, it has the capacity to burn you, but that's just the intensity of the radiation.
Right.
It
right.
has nothing to do with the capacity of that radiation to actually disrupt your cells.
Yeah. I think the worst burn I've ever gotten from visible light was wearing brown after Labor Day. I got one giggle. I'm good. Hey, guys, we're at the bottom of the half hour already. You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're going to come right back after this break. You're listening to one of three.
And the next one's a doozy.
Larry, you want to take us out?
Sure. It's Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM. We'll take a short break and be right back.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Welcome back. I'm Dotter 5, and this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is April 5th, 2020, and this is the second half of the show. Let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, ASK, founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year. We now have over 1,000 members, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org. By the way, there's another large free thinking group here in Knoxville called the Rationalists of East Tennessee, RET. They've been around for more than 20 years, and you can find them at rationalist.org. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Atheist Call-In TV show or video show. You can find it online now. It's called the Freethinkers United of Knoxville, Tennessee. Go to YouTube and look up Freethinkers United Knoxville, and you can find their show and all of their archives. Remember, the archives of the show is where they've been storing not only their video shows, but also the TV shows that they've done over the last 10 years. You can find them there as well. And if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or the radio show, just let us know. Send an email to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org. Say you'd like to be involved. And we'll see if we can't make that happen. With us on the show today, we have your usual co-host, the Wombat.
Hey, it's the Wombat.
And guests, Joey Woods, Chad the Impaler, Boudreaux, and Dread Pirate Higgs. We also have, Chad the Impaler did come in, so I've got him in there. So we're good. Where would we want to pick up?
So we just talked about some conspiracies related to the coronavirus, and I thought it was a cool list. Gary, do you have any more new conspiracies for us?
I do indeed. Number four, people are dying from fear, not coronavirus. That claim comes from Kelly Brogan, a holistic psychiatrist.
Whoa, that's two things together that I don't really understand.
Yeah. Well, apparently she blogs for Gwyneth Paltrow's website. In a video, there is a link.
The website's called Goop. You can find it.
Yeah, that's so Gwyneth Paltrow. Oh, man. I like her acting, but she's not a scientist. In a video, Brogan says that she does not believe in the germ-based contagion, which is sort of like saying, I don't believe in the moon. Yeah. She then says that she then says it's silly to villainize any particular microbe
Oh, no.
And they put in parentheses, social justice for microbes.
Believes in microbes, but not in germs.
There you go.
She further says, and that there is potentially no such thing as a coronavirus.
Oh, man.
This cements Gwyneth Paltrow's place as America's number one scourge on public health, even surpassing Dr. Oz.
Oh, so there are levels. There's always the person who's panicking so much about the coronavirus that they do inadvertently harmful things. And then there are the people who are like so willingly ignorant that they don't think that there's any coronavirus and end up doing inadvertently harmful things and cross-contaminating people.
Which we're seeing a lot of right now.
Yeah, I'm seeing only the extremes. There's very little people in the middle ground that I'm seeing, at least on the news and stuff like that. So it makes me... I'm so happy that I can talk with you guys.
Well, the news is about extremes. You had to...
Right.
The extreme.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, I don't know when it happened, but news became synonymous with bad news. And has anyone ever noticed that? I was thinking that while playing volleyball by myself. It's like news and bad news have become the same thing, and there's no longer just news anymore. I always wondered.
That's an interesting thing to say. I've actually just been reading the latest edition of Skeptic magazine, and Michael Shermer actually makes an excellent little article about fake news and what is it and how long has it been around. It's definitely an interesting read and. You know, sort of puts the current thrush around fake news into perspective.
Right.
That, in fact, fake news has been around for a long, long, long time.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
I think our brains are hardwired to accept or keep bad news longer, right? Like, if we live on a valley with nothing killing us, we don't care. But if there's one tiger that came out 4 months ago, we're going to remember that in our little, you know...
Absolutely. Steven Pinker makes a lot of points in both Enlightenment Now and The Better Nature, Better Angels of Our Nature. Those are two great books worth reading.
Joe, you were going to say something?
I'm at that book right now at my desk. And it's I'm sitting at my desk and it's on my shelf. So.
Which one?
It's Better Angels of Our Nature.
Ah, yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
The floor was open for you. Do you wanted to say something?
I wanted just a little more. What's the name of that magazine called, and how can
Skeptic
free or?
No, you have to. It's a subscription. It's called Skeptic, and it's Michael Shermer's many years now.
Do you have to be Canadian to get it?
The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe right now.
Oh, that's a great book too.
He's definitely. He's great.
Okay. I'm going to open up the floor so Boudreaux can make a Sam Harris reference.
There it is. Hey, Steven Pinker is up there too. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that out of the system? No. All right. Go ahead.
Hey, interestingly, on your point of these news things going bad, quick tie into our 5G conversation. I've been reading that there are people burning down towers.
No.
5G towers.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I had to say. Before coronavirus, the whole goop thing, Seth Andrews has a podcast, The Thinking Atheist, that's fantastic.
Who's that?
Seth Andrews.
Seth Andrews,
He always likes to pretend like he's the B-League of a new atheist, but I put him up there as one of the greats.
So,
I concur, Doctor.
This is so interesting because I was playing a game where basically you're a cab driver in a world where there's no human cab drivers. Everything's totally automated. And so like you're desperate to try to get like a human experience and like solve your own, you know, core problems while dealing with a world where everyone's just completely disconnected. And there's a part of the game where you can like kind of destroy the system. And if you do it, you're called a Luddite. And I didn't know what a Luddite is. And so turns out Luddites have been around for a while. It's like the term, there's a word for people who go out and destroy technology because they don't like it. The Luddites were basically an organization in the 19th century that destroyed textile, machinery because they believed that it took away from like the human, you know, culture of textile and weaving and all that stuff. And they were against the labor practices by bringing in machines and kicking out workers and stuff.
Anti-industrialists.
So. Yeah. That has been around forever. So to a point, like people burning down 5G towers compared to people burning down textile, you know, factories. It's all the same thing. We're just the same people. There's a real, I don't want to make this depressing. This is not a sad point to be sad, but there was a really, really funny text or tweet that I read where it's like, my only solace from this, experience that we're having with the pandemic is that I know we will never learn anything and we'll go right back to how things were in like a year or so. And I'm like, isn't that true?
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I've been telling people like, I was kind of hoping, and I want to stay optimistic that maybe still I want to disagree with this, and that maybe we will learn, and that we affect the environment, and the environment affects us.
Right.
But if I'm entirely realistic, oh man, maybe we're not.
Well, you know,
hopefully the people that are paid to remember this, you know, CDC, scientists, the people who are working on this area, will remember it and remind us of this stuff as it comes back.
They're definitely never going to forget it.
As long as they don't get fired.
Right. Oh, I hope not. I think
one thing I thought was such an empty statement that's been going around is we're all in this together.
Yeah.
How could it possibly be otherwise?
People in space.
I mean, we live within a closed system. You know, this is the Earth. The only people that aren't in this with us are the guys up on ISS right now.
Exactly. The astronauts. They're like, wow. True, there are underwater research stations, and maybe Antarctica.
No, well, I said I'm in 6 feet.
Oh, or more than that. Okay, that specific depth. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say this: there's this regarding scientists and like the need for those jobs. I've always thought there are two different kinds of science, and one is like the shooting star science, and the other one's like that low IR burn in the sky, like the light that you can't see but is necessary for you to see anything, really, like makes up that like that night little, you know, hue that we come to know so much. Not pure black, but like that dark purple, bluish brown, or red. Basically what I'm saying is, like, a lot of people are like, hey, if you're a scientist, would you want to be the kind of person that can like invent some brand new killer amazing thing that no one's ever heard of before, or do you want to be a voice to the layman that can help them understand and bring up the common denominator of science? And I said, I've always wanted to be the latter of the two, because I want to be like the Bill Nye. I want to be like the Carl Sagan, the Neil deGrasse Tyson. I want to bring people to have an appreciation for science and know how to parse information from good things, bad things, true things, false things, because we can always come up with those, you know, killer amazing technologies, but if we aren't willing to accept it, we're going to have situations like the Luddites. We're going to have people burning down 5G towers. We need to have like, and that's why teachers are so important, and like, you know, expressing science in a media platform is so important, and doing it with so little political bias that you can just help people really understand how to figure out true things or not. And I can't tell you how many bad graphs I've seen. this last month has been like the worst collage of like graphs I've ever seen. But yeah, feel free anyone to step in. Don't let me just take the floor. But Chad, what do you think about the idea of people dying from fear, not viruses? Holistic psychiatry. This kind of sounds like blue territory. I'm not coloring you any, but have you dabbled?
have you
bookmarked Goop? Yeah, have you bookmarked Goop in your past before? Or you're like, oh yeah.
I actually got on an elliptical a couple of months ago and thought, oh, this will be good. I didn't know what Goop was, but I was intrigued. I was thinking, this was before I knew anything about Gwyneth and her whatever. I don't know what led her down this path, but so I thought, cool, I'll check that out. This will be kind of fun.
Score.
And I watched about a half of an episode and just couldn't do it anymore. What I find interesting about this holistic psychiatrist is that it takes quite a bit of education to become a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're not going to go to your community college and pick it up in a couple of years. This takes almost a decade to get, if you're on it, to get this type of degree and all these certifications and understanding. And for this woman to be able to live with such dichotomy is, I find, amazing. And I think she needs to be studied. you know, that's what I think about these types of people, because I find them fascinating.
She could be a really good liar. and just
she could
there.
Be.
Yeah,
she could be. Just could be a sociopath or a psychopath. That's that's really good at. Well, she knows. She knows that she has a niche, and there aren't very many psychiatrists in that field, right? So she can probably cash out.
Well,
rather quickly, maybe.
Yeah. What's good in some instances is the protected designation, right? Like a physician is a protected designation. So you can be a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
But you cannot refer to yourself as a physician. And I know someone local in town who goes that by the designation as a doctor, you know, unabashedly calls herself a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. And I've looked at the syllabus and, you know, get, well, one of them is learning the Chinese, you know, learning some rudimentary Chinese and the names, the taxonomic names of herbs and stuff like that. But it by no means, you know, undergoes any kind of rigor that becoming a physician does. And so I think it's intellectually dishonest for one, for a person to, apply the, you know, the designation of doctor to their scant education as a means to essentially separate people from their money.
Right.
And then people who are either, you know, just not very educated for whatever reason, maybe willingly ignorant or
like
grew up religious, or maybe they even have a mental illness. They're just, they become victims to this. Really
Absolutely.
Sad. Like, and herds go to this misinformation and believe it wholeheartedly. That's just, it's just heartbreaking.
I think a lot of people go to these experts. I'm doing air quotes, can't see it. probably because so few real experts would give these people
exactly
the time of day.
I
found an expert.
You took a left turn.
Know, this is great.
Yeah, I think if you go to an expert, they aren't going to give you an answer that you may necessarily want, like what a holistic psychiatrist might. They might tell you there's a lot of unknowns here, and we're working really hard to try to figure out good ways to figuring out this, like, you know, nebulous situation. And that's not an answer that's desirable to people who want an answer. But oftentimes it's the right answer, and only an expert would recognize the value of I don't know as a good point to say, hey, this is as intellectually honest as we can be at this point.
Yeah, it's a legitimate position to take.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes back to confirmation bias. People are searching out the answer to the question.
They want certainty.
You know, and we have to come back and admit expertise is very, very narrow
exactly.
and honed thing. So, I mean, I have a degree in engineering with a PhD that gives me no credibility to talk about anything related to the coronavirus.
Right.
And I'm not even an expert in structural engineering, so I'm not the person you want building your bridge. So it's just...
It's about talking within the scope of your education or your expertise, right?
Yeah.
You know what I think we should probably, as a group, as a society, should teach is children that don't plan on getting an education, we should educate them on how to spot a charlatan and an expert. If you're not going to get a degree, you need to understand how easily you can be duped by people that have credentials that be false or people that are just charlatans.
That's a university core curriculum.
So I just wanted to mention one thing, if I could. It's called, and I had mentioned this earlier with the magazine Skeptic. So there's the Skeptics Society, and you can always go to www.skeptic.com to find more information about it. But they've got this great thing called the Baloney Detection Kit, which is based on Carl Sagan's Demon-Haunted World. And other writings by Carl Sagan. So it's a great tool to introduce children to critical thinking. And it's definitely worth having a look at.
Yep, I agree. It's a great thing. Just make sure you carry the way he says it, make sure you always carry a well-stocked baloney detection kit with you wherever you go.
Yeah, they're right, exactly.
Yeah. And, of course, by stocking, he's talking about skills that you need when you're talking to somebody who's making extraordinary claims that really don't stand up to any kind of inquiry.
Right. And that's, you know, he's known for that saying, is extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always good to have Occam's razor right there in your toolkit, prepared to use it.
Yeah.
We have tools like stories that we can tell our kids, like the King's New Clothes, or that are really helpful to, like, you know, show people even authorities can be fooled and stuff like that.
Right.
We just have to hammer home the point.
Mm-hmm.
What I find slightly encouraging is that I've always heard from right-wing Christians that they are definitely in favor of critical thinking and logic being introduced as a core curriculum or a class in public schools, but I don't think how much they understand how that's going to backfire on there.
Well, it's because they think that it's perfectly logical that something had to create the universe because everything created everything else.
They think that the Kalam cosmological argument is actually a sound scientific argument,
even though it only points to a deistic God and not any particular God.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I was just saying that if we could actually, if we have their support on that one, maybe in like a generation or so, we could definitely continue. I mean, because the atheist community is growing, correct?
Of course,
I heard that a few months ago. So that's promising. That's encouraging too. So
yeah,
I think that would just even accelerate the process.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm very encouraged here in British Columbia, Canada, during the last census where questions around religiosity were included, which was 9 years ago, 2011, sorry. 44% of British Columbians identified as irreligious. So I'm interested to see next year when our next census is taken and those questions are again asked, where we'll be at, because from between the interim, the previous 10-year interim, the increase was 12.9% of people identifying as irreligious. So if we're now looking at over 50% of British Columbians, if not across Canada, as being irreligious, that does signify something pretty substantial.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that question on the 2020 U.S. census.
But it didn't show up. No.
They didn't have that question there.
They really
Was that a presidential veto, or
I don't know.
Maybe
they
wouldn't accept black as a race to enter. They were like black, and they say put in your race. I was like black. It's like that's not one of the options. I'm like, what's the option that I can pick? It's African American. I'm like, I'm not from Africa, so I said black American. I said black American, and they accepted that. And I'm like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's honest.
Has anyone?
It also makes me angry because it makes the default American white or something not black.
Yeah, I don't like all that stuff either, Ty.
Right.
Well, I remember asking you. I think it was last week, Ty Wombat. Sorry, whether or not you identified as an African American. You said only just to mess with white people.
Yeah. You got to keep them on their toes.
That's right.
You got to keep them on the toes.
Speaking of black Americans.
Yeah, go for it.
Has anyone ever seen, and I was trying to dig up the link, there was a video of a presentation Neil deGrasse Tyson did on religiosity and advanced degrees. And he was comparing the number of people who are religious with, you know, maybe a high school degree and then a college degree.
Oh, yes.
And then an advanced degree and then an advanced degree in the heavy sciences. And his point was that, you know, the more, maybe the more rational you are, the less likely you are to believe. But he didn't stop there and he didn't say, you know, hey, smart people are more religious or are less religious. You know, this is just great. Great for the atheist community. He didn't stop there. What he said is, I'm really curious about the people that are religious because it's not zero.
Yeah. Why is it not zero? He said.
Right. And I'm really curious about those people that, have these really advanced degrees, but yet they still go to church on Sunday. And how does their brain work with that?
I'd say two things. Yeah. The smart.
Earlier that you wanted the psychiatrist to be studied for a dichotomy. Or who was that earlier?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that is fascinating.
Two things.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, right? Did I steal that from Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with Dr. Watson there, co-discoverer of DNA?
Yeah.
And some previous years here, he was going for a walk along some trail and came across a waterfall that was frozen in three spires and fell to his knees and took Jesus as his savior.
Well, he's really, really old, too. Like, he's already been going senile for a while. Yeah, like, I'm not even joking.
The trilogy.
So he's got a good reason.
Yeah.
Like, give that to him. Show him that when he's in his 20s and, like, working with x-rays and stuff like that. And he'll be like, what am I doing when I'm old? Like, that's silly. Like, I feel like you can't take someone who's in their 30s and at the peak of their, you know, critical thought. Critical thought is not something you're just born with and keep going. You have to practice at it. And
we're not as humans predisposed to reason.
Right. And so if you're old and your faculties are falling apart, I could see something like that totally happening. But to mention on Boudreaux's point, oh man, you had, these really educated people who are also religious. I wanted to say, like, the smarter you are, the better you are at convincing yourself that you're right. Even if you're not using really good logic. And that's one of the things I discovered with SE. Because it takes all the facts, all the ammunition that someone can use to, like, support the belief, and just ask them about the standard they're using to get to a conclusion.
Which takes
all the, you know, weeds out of the situation and get straight to the point. And I found that to be a great way to make people who are smart and are religious recognize that they have some more work to do.
Go ahead, Eric. I was just saying quickly that tracks nicely with the people I do know that do have advanced degrees that are very religious. They're usually super, super religious, and maybe they're so smart that they've compelled themselves. That's a good point.
Yep.
Right, and I use to tip my hat and maybe go a little since I'm divulging this information, there's no HIPAA violation here or anything. I use psychologists to help me parse my own cognitive biases. I have really good insurance, and I talk to a psychologist here lately a couple times a month to help me work through not only some issues that I've got, some psychological issues, but it's really great to have a conversation with someone who has no reason to lie to you, that can point out where you're misleading yourself. I think it's fantastic, and it's a wonderful tool that I use. I'm not ashamed to say I use it. It's fantastic. I enjoy it.
I think SE has been a lot of therapy for me, to be honest with you. I miss going out.
Likewise.
It's not just me trying to convince someone that they're wrong. That's not my goal at all. It's really to just have that conversation. And when I reach a really interesting question, I'm really happy to turn the tables and let them ask me questions and try to figure out where I'm coming from. And I've never had a conversation with someone where some bias that I've had evolved in some way or gone away completely. And it's just really therapeutic to know that I can talk to anyone, about anything. It's having that face to face is incredible. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the exercise of vigilance against your own, bias, right?
Absolutely.
Or biases, right? And I find that in the conversations I have as well, is I always have to reflect on where I'm coming from in order to be sure that I'm not just telling somebody, what they think.
I think that's
Rappaport's rules, right? Rappaport's rules.
Echo chamber, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the basic principles of love. Of love.
What?
Like when,
I'm just wondering. What's love got to do?
I was religious, I hyperfixated on the love part. And, you know, one of the basic things about love is, like, you seek to understand somebody before you seek to correct them. I think one of the things about monitoring your thoughts to find your biases is a type of act of self-love, because you want to protect yourself. You want yourself to be your mind to operate at the best cognitive level. Yeah.
I agree with that. I like what you're saying there. Yeah. It's a sign of maturity, too.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Hey, I've got one more conspiracy theory.
Go for it.
I think this we're probably getting too close to the end here.
Yeah.
Drinking cow urine and putting essential oils up your butt will prevent coronavirus.
Is this on the list?
this is number 8 on the list. It says our fact checkers rated both as false. Any information of the contrary out there?
So
I think it's true because if I were to see someone doing that, I would stay the hell away from them. So
there,
I would not be able to pass coronavirus to them.
There was a point in human history where someone said, "Hey, there's a cow. I'm going to drink that stuff that comes out of it." And people were like, "What? No, that's still bad." So someone must have figured out something. I figure give us like maybe another, give me like 50 years and you can show that there's a correlation there and the causation. And I'll be like, "All right."
Hey, has anyone ever peed on a jellyfish sting?
No.
I heard it works.
But I was stung by
sure there's some chemical reason.
Yeah.
I remember it being absolutely excruciating. I was dragged to the beach and I rolled in the sand and all these grown-ups came and helped me and it was saying
with urine, right? Why are they throwing urine on me?
But that's just what it just made me think of that.
Jellyfish. So I'm not following. You pee on a jellyfish?
On a jellyfish sting. So if you've been stung on the back of the hand, urinate on your hand or someone else would do it, then
that's false.
Athlete's foot.
Yeah. I've heard that's false. Yeah.
Speaking of shoving things up your butt, if we're going to talk about
that. I wonder
what
would happen if you peed on an electric eel.
You would have a very angry animal. That's unfortunate.
The answer would shock you.
We're getting bad. So we're getting low on time.
The show over already.
No, we're getting low on time though. I'm gonna say that's Dread Pirate's final. That's Dread Pirate's final pun. Anyone else got anything before we close out the show? Boudreaux, what do you have to say before we head out?
A couple quick things. We did our summit completely using Zoom last night.
Nice.
And Wombat, you were invited, but you got your days wrong because of quarantine.
Yeah.
but it was a big success. And I think it actually opened us up to where when we start doing real summits again, we've got a nice speakerphone we can put in the center of the room.
Wonderful.
And we can get more people like you guys involved. And that'd be great.
I wonder why you aren't broadcasting them on the big screen in your den. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I thought about it, and it was really just me down there, and I knew I was going to be there for 3 hours.
Okay.
Shoot, Joe, didn't we go 4 hours?
We went 7 to midnight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I hate leaving that projector and the bulbs to have a finite life. I will probably use the projector when we have more people in the room.
Cool.
But it was just me and Kristen for the most part. So.
Cool.
The other thing I'll throw out there is I am working on a parody version of a popular 80s song with coronavirus lyrics. I hope to get it ready.
Nice. We can play it on the show.
To the group.
Yeah. We support atheist musicians. So yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Hey.
Dead Pirate.
Boudreaux, sorry. Could I just ask, when is that summit?
So we do the first Saturday of every month, usually around 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that puts it around 10 o'clock my time. So
we got maybe 30 seconds left before we're in the show. Thank you guys for listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Hey, Larry, why don't you close us out? Larry.
Yes.
Close us out.
Okay, and be sure to visit digitalfreethought.com, click our blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll answer them on the show for you. We invite you to join us in the show with questions through our Facebook page. So go on Facebook and look for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. You can find our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Luminary, podcast.com, and iHeart, as well as digitalfreethought.com. And remember, somebody somewhere believes you are going to their hell. Everybody is in that state. In fact, according to the world's religion, everybody's going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And join us next week at 7 o'clock on Wednesday for WOZO Radio.com
for another Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. See you then. Perfect. Say bye.
Bye. Cool.
Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Thank you for having me.
WOZOLP 103.9 FM, Knoxville.